Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben, your buddy Bob. Bob Bupka is going to be on the show today, the voice of golf, talk sports in the UK. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. He's going to be on the show as well. Of course, Bob is at the Open. Lewin Mayer, author, senior writer, Global Golf Post. She's at the Open. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated's golf column called Morning Read, also author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. And Lisa Cornwell is going to kick off the show with us. All-American, boy, does she have some credentials in the world of golf I bet you didn't know about. Now, PGA Tour Live and Team Shrixon. Plus, she's got a really cool, it's a video podcast. It's Like It Is. You'll find it at likeitisstories.com. So welcome into the clubhouse. This is the Golf Club, and of course, we're streaming worldwide. If you can't catch it on the radio, if you're going from one place to another, driving, and you miss something, it's also podcast at radiogolfclub.com. So a live stream there, podcast there, on the radio, of course, right here at Oldies 101.1. And we're giving away rounds of golf at Volcano on the Big Island. This is one of those golf courses, if you're in Hawaii visiting and you're on the Big Island, you must play Volcano. It's a wonderful golf course right between the two volcanoes. That's why it's called Volcano Golf Course. No, it's not dangerous at all. It's fabulous. So two rounds of golf. And if you're there, you want to play. There's a 9:24. There's a 10:30. Makalei. This is also a very interesting golf course. It's really high up in the mountains. Peacocks roam around Makalei. There's a 10:10 and an 11 o'clock. Poipu Bay has a 9:20 and a 10:10. And a little birdie tells me there's a famous piano player roaming the links. Turtle Bay has an 11:08. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:18. Bayview has a 10:20. Makaha East has an 8:38 if you're there. If you're not, there's a 9:10, 11 o'clock. And Wailea, Gold, 8:50. Emerald, 10:30. Blue, 10:40. And Maui Nui has an 8:52. So we're coming back right next. First, we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And Lisa Cornwell, former All-American, Golf Channel On Air, but now PGA Tour Live, ESPN Plus, Team Shrixon all the way. Like It is the name of her podcast, likeitisstories.com. One of the first scholarship students at the University of Arkansas, leading the way for other students in the future. In her competitive career, she won more than 30 U.S. tournaments. 1992 Arkansas Female Athlete of the Year Award. That's Arkansas's Female Athlete of the Year. The Arkansas native, four-time Women's State Open, two-time AGGA first-team All-American, and as I mentioned, the first scholarship player in the program history. Lisa's currently working for the PGA Tour as one of its play-by-play voices on ESPN Plus. She recently launched a podcast called Like It Is that goes in-depth on the biggest issues in sports. She's also working on a newly signed book deal, yes, of her memoir that is scheduled to be released in spring of 2023. Welcome into the clubhouse, Lisa.
I need to come on here more often, Danielle, with that kind of introduction. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
You're my new best friend.
Tell me something. You were 14 when you won your women's state champions title?
Yeah, that was my first one, the youngest in state history. You are dating me, though, by throwing in the years. We could just say 14 and exclude
the date. No dates.
But no, I'm kidding. I'm proud of it. Very fond memories. It's, I think back to my competitive golf career, and now that I cover the sport for a living, I mean, I just have so much respect for these professional athletes and the work that they put into it. It's quite impressive, but it certainly has been a great ride to still be involved in the game that I love.
Absolutely. But, you know, tell me something. I thought it was interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people ask the question, you know, you were doing so well. You were so good. Why didn't you continue in the professional ranks?
I got really burned out. I actually got burned out kind of when I was at the peak of my competitive playing career. And it's something that I go into great detail in the book about. It's been very therapeutic for me to sort of relive all that. So I don't want to entirely give it away, but I dealt with some issues in my life that I wasn't properly prepared to deal with. And part of that had a result on golf. I lost interest. I lost my focus. And, I often equate it to a divorce. I mean, I don't know what going through a divorce is like, although my sister's been through it, and I know how incredibly difficult it is. But I kind of went through that when I was 17, 18, 19 years old, and I don't regret any of it. I do go back and talk about that. It was really life-changing for me. Plus, professional golf is just hard. I mean, we're sitting here watching the Open Championship, and you think about Rory and Tiger and all these great players and the money that they make. But until you get to that level, especially as a woman, it's incredibly difficult. So I'm grateful for the path that I chose. I think that it's what I was supposed to be doing, and I couldn't be happier today.
I think what you've got is in your toolbox, your toolkit, as you're out on the course and you're doing an interview with somebody, and they've been on a roll, and now they're not on a roll. You can relate to the ups and downs that the tearing apart of this game can do to you. And your questions really reveal a lot more. So now I understand how you can go so deep. That's a good thing.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. One of the greatest things that I've done in my career, I think, is to interview players. That's what I've always enjoyed the most. And I think often for me, it's not, you know, I hear people, and not to discredit their questions at all, but we always want to know about these great shots that they hit. That usually, for me, is not the case. There are two or three shots that save rounds for players, and to me, that's always the most intriguing. I mean, you think of Jordan Spieth and the number of times that he gets into trouble, and just the sheer will that he has to do what he does on the golf course, to me, is fascinating. We can talk about great shots all day long, but, you know, it's that 6-foot par saving putt that could be crucial to saving a round and crucial to getting a victory. And I think as a player, those are the things that probably I'm able to pick up on a little bit more that I really appreciate about what these professional golfers are able to do out there on the course.
Yeah, and let's just go straight into the, you know, yesterday's watching Tiger Woods take the walk across the Swilken Bridge, missing the cut.
Yeah.
What I mean, the standing ovation, the applause, I get chicken skin or goosebumps, as you call it on the mainland. You know, it's like, it was so intense, it brought tears to his eyes. Were you surprised?
Yeah, and no, not at all. I think that we have seen, and look, this usually comes with age, especially in these fierce athletes. I mean, Tiger, you know, a large part of his greatness was just his tenacity out on the golf course and his ability to separate himself from everybody else, especially mentally, and this tunnel vision that he had. And, you know, for so long we never saw that type of softness or emotion from Tiger. But I think that Tiger has a very humble appreciation of where he is, and you can tell that. He's always had it in him. I mean, we grew up playing junior golf together. He's a great guy. But part of his greatness out on the golf course was being able to not let any of that show and not have any of that. And now I think he's able to have the balance. I mean, we saw him win the Tour Championship and the Masters.
Yes.
By being sort of that softer, more humble person. And that's who he is now, and that's where he is now, and he's fully embraced it. I think it's way too early to count him out of winning again. I think that he is slowly getting healthy, and, you know, he talks about living in pain every single day. But obviously, there's still a lot of game left in that old body, so he could surprise us at any moment. Don't ever count him out, not yet.
I didn't, when I saw him, his gait going across the bridge, it was like, this guy isn't, you know, stopping to wave goodbye. He's, you know, he's still, it's, and the funny thing is, we talk about, you know, Tiger Woods missed the cut. Well, Tiger Woods' body is shot, and Gary Woodland's isn't, Phil Mickelson's maybe, but not, Brooks Koepka, Zach Johnson, well, John Daly is, it's amazing that he's still playing, Patrick Harrington, Colin Morikawa, Max Honma, those guys missed the cut. You know, he makes such a big deal. This is, what is this, his 24th missed cut worldwide in his entire career? That's phenomenal.
It's crazy to think about. In fact, I think that it's one of those, the number of made cuts record that he had will never even be touched again. I mean, just the mere fact that he was able to do that throughout his career. But look, he looks healthier than he did in the Masters and than he did at Southern Hills. So I think that these are definitely positives. He's getting stronger. I'll tell you, I mean, look, he can still hit the shots. And I think the fact that he can get the swing speed up to where he can is incredibly impressive. His putting just hasn't been good. And, you know, I think with more reps and more time, especially getting healthier and being able to spend hours on a putting green, I think that that's a big part of it. It's not really mechanics per se. I just think that with where he is physically, it's being able to stand on a putting green and just put that amount of pressure on your body in terms of standing there and hitting putt after putt after putt. It's hard. I mean, it will wear on your legs. It'll wear on your back. And I think that once that continues to get a little bit stronger for him, that we will see the putting improve. And with that, the game will improve as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the most painful positions for the body to be in. When you don't have
Michelle,
a good...
we?
Yes. Lord. Transferring, you know, going over... I got to talk to you about LIV Golf, because you've had some very... intense, very good, like it is, and it's like it is stories.com. Go there and check it out. Conversations about the money, where it's coming from, feeding LIV Golf. What's been the reaction from the women you've talked to?
Well, it's interesting. I was actually over in Spain last week at the LET event, and you know, those players are in a horrible position, and most of them do not like where the money's coming from. But you're talking about players who were making pennies on the dollar. They were having to get jobs in the off season. My stance will always be the same. You know, I'm glad that they're able to make a living. I will never like or support where the money's coming from. I've just read too much on it. Saudi Arabia, you know, while NBS is trying to appeal to the West by putting money into golf and gaming and soccer and all these other things, bringing concerts in, it's just a facade. I mean, NBS is just, he's a bold-faced liar. He's a murderer. You know, look at what he did to Jamal Khashoggi. Look at what they're doing with the war in Yemen. Things aren't getting better. I mean, I'm mortified that our president's over there right now after campaigning and pledging to stay away. You can't open your arms to people who have done what he's done. And look, let's be clear. LIV Golf, the Aramco Series, Golf Saudi, it is all the government. Now, people will come back and say, what about China? What about this? Okay, there are a lot of horrible places in the world, unfortunately. America does not have a perfectly clean record. But this money is coming directly from the Saudi government. When the LPGA Tour or PGA Tour, PGA Tour China is playing in China, the money is not being handwritten from a government checking account. That's where this money is. And they're trying to buy the game of golf. There's no business model that suits what they're doing. This is ridiculous. I mean, it is a hostile takeover by a repressive regime that still brutally punishes women, that still does these mass executions, that still puts gay people in jail. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I guess I just don't care about money enough. I'd rather work at Burger King than take that check. It's blood money.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about LET and being there, I don't think we realize just how difficult it is to be on a feeder tour like LET, Ladies European Tour, and having to have, you know, where am I going to find my rent money? Do you think that they're going to have, the Saudis will have an influence eventually in the women's game?
I think that they want to take over everything that they can. I think that I would not be surprised to see a women's live tour start, although I can guarantee you Saudi hates women. They're not going to put the amount of money into the women's golf that they are men. So then all of a sudden you talk about equality, and they're not going to give Nelly Korda a $200 million advance like they gave Phil Mickelson, reportedly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I think that they will do something. Like, they're already in there. They have six events on the Ladies European Tour. There's six events, two of which are in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And they're throwing money at these women left and right. So I'm really interested at some point to hear how the new commissioner of the LPGA, how she addresses it. I think that if she was asked about it, she would. The problem is, Danielle, nobody's asking her. Nobody from the mainstream golf media, and I don't know if it's because they don't have enough attention on the LPGA, or they're not aware of what's going on, or they're just trying to avoid it. But I'm really surprised that these conversations are not happening, because I can guarantee you with the Saudis, they're happening. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do, and I would have to think that would be the next step.
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me. Tell us, where did you get the title Like It Is for your podcast?
Well, anybody who knows me or followed the whole story with Golf Channel, I'm pretty outspoken. And I think that we live in this world where we often have to sugarcoat things. I know as a journalist and as a personality who worked for Golf Channel, I really had to bite my tongue a lot. And the one thing when I stopped working for them was I promised myself that I wouldn't do that again, that I would tell it like it is, because that's my personality. I think that by speaking up, you get things to happen. And I've seen it repeatedly, since I've been out of Golf Channel. The things that I've spoken up about, not that they change entirely or that they've entirely changed because of me, but I think that that's how you get change to happen fast, as you talk about it and you reveal the truth. And I'm just not into sort of glossing it over anymore, because it does nothing. And I think that we live in a day and age where we need to try to, especially as women, make it as many advancements as possible.
Excellent. I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well. Thanks a lot for having me.
Lisa Cornwell of All-American. Saying former doesn't make any sense. All-American. Elisa is currently working for the PGA Tour as one of its play-by-play voices on ESPN. Recently launched a podcast, Like It Is, going in-depth on the biggest issues in sports, and also working on a newly signed book deal of her memoir that's scheduled to be released in spring of 2023. Coming back with Bob Herrig, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Ibilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Ibilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Ibilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Okay, we've got this really cool addition to the website. It is the Pro Shop, but you get to the Pro Shop by going through radiogolfclub.com. Radiogolfclub.com. And then you'll see merchandise, merch. And then you'll see the Pro Shop. And you can shop for your favorite gear, whether it's accessories and gifts, or if you want brands like Eddie Bauer or the North Face, or there's hats and there's kids stuff and there's lady stuff and there's men's stuff and there's lots of stuff that you can have for yourself. Or we have gift certificates available now, so you can give a gift certificate, and the person that you have no idea what they'd like to have, what color shirt would they like to wear, what kind of hat do they want to wear, what kind of logo would they like to see, you can give them a gift certificate. That's radiogolfclub.com. Radio, we're on the radio. Radiogolfclub.com. We've got two rounds of golf. I'd love for you to call in to 808-545-1111. That's 808-545-1111. Two rounds of golf at the Volcano Golf Course. Now, this is good for a year. So, you know, or you can gift it to someone who's on the Big Island if you're not on the Big Island. All right? Or Hawaii Island. Okay, that's two rounds of golf, and the number is 808-545-1111.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Come on.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated's column. It's called Morning Read. And, of course, author Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. He attended the Indiana University on an Evans scholarship. Really a very cool thing. And I got to ask him, you know, how many kids get a chance to be caddies right now? That's how you get into the Evans scholarship program. His book is Tiger and Phil. Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. And it's about, yeah, their squabbles, their duels, their softening toward one another, their excellence and their disappointments. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hey, good morning. I don't know that they're so soft towards each other now, but
funny that you should say that. That's exactly what I was thinking when I.
Yeah, it kind of swung back the other way. Possibly another chapter or two to come, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, Phil Mickelson didn't make the cut. So many guys didn't make the cut. Colin Morikawa didn't make the cut. And, of course, at the beautiful, I just love this tournament. This major must be my, I love Augusta National, don't get me wrong. The U.S. Open and PGA Championship, wonderful. But I just, there's something about the Open, and particularly at St. Andrews. Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is a, you know, this is a favorite place to come. The Open's great, but an Open at St. Andrews is even better. And it hasn't disappointed. You know, we've had a lot of different weather, had a lot of different scoring conditions. We've had, you know, the whole thing with Tiger coming back here and sort of the sad possible farewell. And you know, this is the venue where, you know, really everybody's in the town. And it's kind of a neat vibe. You know, I'm probably staying a 10-minute walk away. And it's just a really, it'd just be hard to do that at too many other major venues. And it's kind of remarkable that this one is able to still hang in there and test the best players in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is testing them. I just seeing some of the drives. Although, didn't Tiger have like one of the longest drives? Was it on the first or second day? 412 yards?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. You hit one hard and get it rolling on this very, very firm turf that's not really had a whole lot of rain. And the ball's going to go. I mean, Stuart Singh was saying the other day, you know, on turf that's this hard and firm, the ball's just going to keep going until something stops it. And it's usually a bunker or the rough.
Yes.
Or it just kind of keeps rolling out, you know. And that's what makes it so tough because when conditions are soft, you know, you can get away with a wayward drive a little bit. The ground might, you know, soft ground is going to keep it from rolling, but when you're playing in firm conditions like this, the ball goes forever, and that also means the ball can go forever into the rough or into bunkers.
What's the heat? The heat must not be helping as well. I mean, there's no rain. Plus, are you guys getting scorched?
No, not really. I mean, right now, you know, it's late in the day. Now it's almost 6:30. You know, it's cooled off quite a bit. It's not cold, but it's not warm. The sun keeps it warm, and obviously that bakes out the conditions too. And it has made for a very, very firm course as well. But no, it has not been overly hot. It was warmer earlier in the week.
Okay.
Last Sunday, Monday. The temperature has actually been pretty moderate, although, you know, it's fluctuated. It's been chilly in the mornings, and it gets warm, then it gets colder at this time of day. And, you know, guys are wearing short sleeves out there right now, but it's a little bit blustery, and I'm guessing when they're coming down those last few holes, they'll be a little bit chilly.
When you talked about, at the very start of our conversations, you said, you know, possibly retiring. And I was reading some of the tweets today, and I frankly didn't get a Tiger Woods retiring sense. He kind of, his stride across the Swilken Bridge just didn't feel like a farewell kind of walk, you know? He didn't, I don't know, what do I know? But business writer.
No, I think you're right. I think if this was it, he would have stopped on the bridge. He would have stopped and he would have turned around and he would have looked back and he would have waved and posed to all those. There was 100 cameramen out there, you know, that were behind the tee and in that area. And that's what Jack and Arnold and Tom Watson did. And Tiger just walked over the bridge and took off his hat. And look, afterward, he even said, I'm not retiring. He said, I'm going to be playing more British Opens. I just don't know if I will be playing any more here. We don't know when the next one will be here. And if they wait 7 or 8 years, that might be too late for him. If they do it in 5 or 6, which has been their usual, you know, mandate going back really 50 years, they've kind of not gone much longer than well, they did. They've gone as long as 8 years at times in 70 and 78. But then after that, it was, you know, it was 84, it was 90, 95, 2000, 2005, 10, 15. They were going to go last year, but they got delayed a year by COVID. They purposely wanted to have the 150th here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know if it'll be another 5, 6. Maybe they want to get off the 5-year rotation. But, you know, Tiger will be in his early 50s. What we don't know is will his leg have improved or will it deteriorate to the point where he's just not going to be able to be competitive?
Right.
And let's be honest, he wasn't very competitive this week. It was a little bit of a surprise that he didn't fare better, given that, you know, this is the best he's looked walking. And some of his practice looked really good. You know, he looked pretty good in the practice rounds. He was hitting the ball nicely and I figured he was going to figure out the speed of the greens, but it just didn't happen. You know, he just never really got on track and never could get any momentum. And it led to that kind of speculation. But, you know, Tiger was never going to play after this all year anyway, except to, you know, maybe the charity stuff at the end of the year. And it's always now a question of, you know, what kind of improvement does he make over the next 6 months, which might allow him to play a little bit more next year.
Yeah. I thought he played way too much before the tournament. I mean, he was out there with Rory, and didn't he play with JT? And he was like nonstop.
He played, you know, going into the Masters and going into the PGA, at each place he played 27 holes on site. Here he played 58. He played 54 holes. You know, well, he only walked 18 holes last Saturday. He walked, he chipped and putted, but still, it's walking 18 holes. I did it. It's 18,000 steps. So, you know, and about it was about knocked me over. So, and then he played 18 holes on Sunday, last Sunday with JT, and it was a 5.5-hour practice round. It was very intense. A lot of chipping, a lot of putting, a lot of drivers. You know, more than one tee shot. And they took their time, and they were trying to figure out the course. And then, you know, 9 more holes Monday. He played in that 4-hole Champions Challenge later in the day. Looked good. 9 holes Tuesday. Nothing but practice Wednesday. It's a lot of golf. But you know, I think most of us took that as a good sign. Like, hey, he's able to do this.
Yeah.
And you know what? There wasn't a whole lot of limping when he played. I think he showed some improvement there, but his game just didn't come around for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised when I saw that final putt. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, well, that's way off. Yeah. He didn't get the birdie.
Too bad.
Yeah. That was a shame. Your retort to, you know, wasn't a bad thing, but Darren Rovell thought it was time for, you know, good old Tiger to put it away, and your response really had nothing to do with the love of the game, but rather the business. And you thought Darren should have recognized that when you talk about the commercial interest that'll keep him from announcing a retirement.
You know, golfers don't typically announce retirements anyway. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, I'm trying to think of it. You know, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus never really announced retirements. I mean, Jack said that the 2005 Open would be his last. And, well, he was 65. You know, I mean, of course. You know, same with Arnold. You know, Tiger's 46. Why would he announce his retirement now? I mean, it makes no sense. And I think, listen, from a business standpoint, it's a horrible idea. You know, he's got a lot of business interests. He has a foundation that he runs. I mean, the idea, just the thought of him coming back creates content. It creates interest. And why would he want to shut the door on that? You know, and he didn't.
Yes.
So, and I think Darren was suggesting it was going to harm his legacy. I don't see any way that happened. I mean, Arnold Palmer went 20 straight years or so without making the cut at the Masters. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. If Jack had come back and played the Masters this year at 82 and shot 95, nobody would have cared. I mean, I just think it's part of, you know, especially at the Masters where you're not taking a spot from anybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's no alternate. There might maybe there'd be some people that would be bothered by it here, but. I just think that's just not—it's just not an issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So, continuing along the vein of this is Bob Herrick, and Bob has a book, Tiger and Phil: Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. So, Tiger was front and center. Phil was playing, right? Phil Mickelson was in the. I say that very much tongue in cheek, okay? Because we just didn't see a lot of him.
No, he was very much under the radar all week. He talked to us one time after the first round on Friday. Wasn't featured much on TV. Didn't attend the Champions Dinner. Didn't play in the 4-hole Champions Challenge. It's amazing how much things have changed. You know, these are things that, you know, I think Phil should have been part of. You got to put the negativity aside. He won this tournament. has a 30-year history in the game, and thought all of that's been a little bit bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to like what he's doing. That's fine. That's somebody's opinion. If they don't like it, great. That's okay. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people think it's a bad idea. There's obviously a ton of controversy involved. But at the end of the day, it's golf. And so you didn't like what he decided to do with his life and career, but now you're going to deny him, you know, sort of a perk that he earned. I just thought all of that, I think all of that's been a little misguided.
The RNA was pretty upfront about saying, well, he didn't show up anyway. Has he been there, or was that Greg Norman who didn't care about coming, so why should we invite him to the Champions Dinner?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have a point there to a degree. I mean, in 2015, Norman was 60, and that would have been his last eligible British Open, and he elected to not play, and he elected to not even show up. You know, they had a Champions thing that year as well, playing the four holes, which has kind of turned into a bit of a tradition. And so, you know, and then he asked for an exemption this year, and he hasn't played in the Open since 2009. I mean, it's kind of silly. You know, you've gone, what, 13, 14 years without playing in it? I don't think he's played a world ranking counting event in 10 years.
Yeah.
So it just was a weird flex on his part. And I think that annoyed them that they had to deal with that. And then, of course, you know, you've got the whole LIV thing. I thought that they could have just let it be, invite him like everybody else, let it play out. He might not have come anyway. I truly believe he wasn't going to cause any problems here, because if he did, if he caused a distraction, he'd have been ripped, and
yes,
it would have been worse for him. He could have just, you know, he didn't have to talk to the people that don't want to talk to him, and he could have been part of it, and then you move on. So, but they elected to make that a big deal, and frankly, they called more attention to it than they had if they had said nothing.
Yeah, the big statements that are made. Yes, absolutely. They did bring a lot of attention to it, because, you know, how much of us are paying attention to whether or not so-and-so has been invited to the chat, or that they are even having this dinner. You know, it's the Masters makes a big deal. You know what the menu is, because the guy from last year gets to choose the menu. And so it has a different kind of feel than this one. I didn't even realize they did those dinners. So the celebrations.
Yeah. I think they do it just at St. Andrews, to be honest with you, when they play an Open here. So I don't think it's an annual thing. So, but still, you know, it's for all the guys who've won. And, you know, obviously Phil won. Greg Norman won twice.
Yeah.
And just again, you know, here we are talking about it. If they had just let it be, and Norman that chose not to attend, I don't even know that we would have said anything about it. It wouldn't have been a surprise.
No, it wouldn't. It, you know, it's not at the forefront of our minds. Dustin Johnson. I was thinking of him as like Teflon Dustin, because he's joined LIV, but everybody seems to be giving him a pass. Everybody seems to still, the guys still like him. They're playing with him, doing practice rounds. Not a problem.
No, I mean, I think that he's one of the guys that they all like. You know, they don't have a big problem with him. They might not like his decision, but they're not upset with him, I guess, not at least outwardly, for doing this. And Dustin just, you know, if there's any noise, he's not hearing it. You know, he's just not. It just doesn't bother him. He's not engaged with it. He doesn't get defensive. If you don't like it, that's your opinion, he's fine with it. He's like, it's not my opinion. Then he sort of just moves on. He's probably got the perfect temperament to deal with this whole thing.
Yes, he does. Exactly. Perfect. He just doesn't deal with it. He doesn't hear it. It's like, let them talk. It is perfect. Now, yesterday and the day before, I thought the perfect name to have in this game is Cameron. Because Cameron Smith and Cameron Young.
Right.
Right?
And I mean, both still right there.
Yeah.
They're both still right in the thick of it. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to name your child, you don't know what to, Cameron, if you want them to be a great golfer. Seems
exactly
to be the trending name. So, it's kind of weird for me to say this. Tiger Woods, this wasn't the end. It was an end.
Yeah, I think it was possibly an end to his time playing the Open at St. Andrews. But that doesn't mean he's not going to play the Open. Next year it's the Hoylake where he won in 06.
Yes.
And that was a pretty special win. And I'm sure he'd love to be there. In 2007, it's at Troon, which, you know, he missed in 2017 because of injury. You know, it was there in 16. That's the year Stenson won. Missed that year, too. He missed 16 and 17. So I just think, you know, he wants to be at these big tournaments. He's earned his way to play in them. And I just think to be able to have any chance, though, he's got to try to add a few more tournaments to get competitive. And, of course, that's easier said than done, given his physical situation.
Yeah. So I loved watching Hoylake. That was an amazing display of iron play. Absolutely stellar what he did in winning that year. This is Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, and just spectacular talking with you from the Open. Bob Herrig, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks again for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. So we're going to transition from Bob to Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post. She's also on site, and we'll be with her right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii's savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
So, how have your investments done lately?
Well, my house has certainly appreciated a lot in the last few years.
How do you invest in that?
I put a new Rainer garage door on last year, made it beautiful, and I know I'll get my money when I sell my home. According to all reports, garage doors rank as one of the best improvements for both selling your home faster and getting back your entire investment.
What about cost today?
Rainer doors have never been a better investment. My door is quieter, stronger, safer, and it transformed the look of my house. Better yet, I added value to my home at the same time, and with inflation the way it is, I know everything will be a lot more expensive next year. So now was the perfect time to buy a Rainer door.
Call Rainer now for your stunning new door. Visit HawaiiDoor.com or call 808-732-8860.
That's HawaiiDoor.com. 808-732-8860.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Todd, congratulations. You have won two rounds of golf at Volcano Golf Course, and you're going to love it. We'll be talking to you, get where we should send those round certificates. Awesome. Thanks for listening to the Golf Club.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post. Welcome into the Golf Club radio show, into the clubhouse, kind of in a long distance sort of way. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's not the best line, but I can hear you all right. Yes.
Okay, I'll try. I'm sorry that it's not a good line. So, you know, this has been amazing. Somebody was writing that if Rory keeps doing as good as he's doing, Rory McIlroy, of course, by tomorrow, it's going to be liftoff of the, you know, space capsule St. Andrews, because the energy is so intense. Do you feel it?
I do feel it. It's absolutely amazing here, to be honest. And what I'm finding so exciting is the way Hovland, the Norwegian boy, and McIlroy have sort of taken off together. They're playing together. And I don't know whether you saw it, but there's a wonderful shot of them standing under the Rolex clock at the 12th as they were waiting to hit. And they were just laughing and enjoying it. And so, you know, they're not sort of looking like so many of the pressure-packed pros. They're really having fun together. And, you know, it's sort of showing in their scoring. It's really exciting to watch them.
That's fantastic. And I was on the road. I wasn't able to see. So what is interesting, gang, is that, you know, I think the last pairing teed off at what time? Was it 4 o'clock in the afternoon, your time?
I think it was. It was 3:55. So you've got 5 minutes. Yes, exactly. So, I mean, and they've been taking a long time, you know. So there were rounds yesterday, the day before, 6 hours. But you know, they have to be sensible over it. I heard, you know, they were just, Rory was saying, well, you know, that's what it is. You know, it's at St. Andrews. You've got the prison and crossing going on, and so, you know, it's going to take longer, but anything's worth it, you know, to be at St. Andrews, so they'll put up with it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because some of them are saying, oh, this is ridiculous, and but the weather, tell us a little bit about the weather in Scotland.
Well, the weather has been quite extraordinary. In fact, at the start of the week, well, Sunday, it was something like 87 degrees or something. You know, we just don't have temperatures like that. And it was absolutely roasting. And we don't know, you know, you may know this kind of temperature where you are, but here we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's come down to, it's average now. But I did speak to one of the weathermen, the man from the Met, and he was saying, well, you know, we may not get these extreme heat waves, you know, which is what they are here. You know, it might not happen again for a bit, but the overall temperature, of course, is going up because of climate change. And so, you know, the course is going to get drier and it's going to need more watering. So it does present problems, doesn't it? I mean, it's lovely at the moment.
Yes. Now, when you've packed for, you know, your trip and you're expecting the weather to be one way and you land and you find out that everything's quite not that way. Did you hear people complaining?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm staying in this delightful little guest house around the corner from the course. And the conversation over breakfast is who's lost how many cases. And, you know, and the ones who didn't lose cases still went out to buy sort of some more summer clothes, because anybody with any sense who comes over to Scotland thinks it's going to be cold. And so they hurried to the merchandise tent and, you know, bought some summer wear, really summery wear. And then 2 days later, they didn't need it, and they were all having to, you know, cursing the fact that they'd bought these shirts, and we were having to go back and buy extra sweaters.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. You would be buying something anyway if you were going to Scotland, wouldn't you? I mean, yeah. one would think.
Yes, exactly. But there was one lady in the guest house who was quite funny because her daughter had advised her very well and said, look, you're bound to lose a case on the way over, so why don't you and Dad put some of, you know, just sort of put some of your stuff in the same case so that, you know, if you only get one case through, they were both had enough clothes in the one, in at least one bag. So they were managing to survive, but they needed, they obviously had to go and buy more.
Oh, that's a spectacular idea. I think given how many people are losing their luggage, we should all be listening very carefully to this.
Well, I mean, it sounded, this woman sounding as though she had an amazing daughter. You know, I assume she was listening to her all the time. The daughter sounded very wise. She could have been about 9 years old, for I know, but it was obviously very good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of advice, you were a champion golfer. Rory was one of the countless people, I mean, taking the bounce out of the lob wedge for fear of thinning shots out of bounds. So they want to take the bounce out of their lob wedge. How does one take the bounce out of their lob wedge or any club? You know, it seems just, you know, it's not only the bounce, it's the roll.
But it's the whole idea is if you look at the bottom of the lob wedge, you know, it's rounded. And, you know, you can't sort of dig into the ground at all. So the rounded part is just bouncing off the turf. So they've got to get the manufacturers to fiddle with them so that they're not sort of not got as much bounce on them. But they're not, a lot of them aren't using the wedges wherever possible. And they're just doing shots, you know, with, say, a 7-iron or something that run along the ground, or just using their putter from miles and miles off the green, and that works.
You know, I hadn't even thought about the fact that they could get somebody from the manufacturers. They're all on site, right? And they're all available to... Isn't that wonderful, guys?
Oh.
You know, just knowing that you've got the truck over there, and I'll just go over and get a club made for me right now.
Well, they're probably just getting their own clubs adjusted, which, you know, they know that, but the manufacturers know what to expect. And one of the manufacturers told me that 75% of their players had come along and asked them to adjust their wedges, you know, for the hard turf.
Wow.
So that was quite interesting to hear.
Yes. Yeah, because I mentioned earlier to Bob Herrig, you know, that Tiger hit 412 yards, a pretty long drive, one of the longest of that day. And he just kind of chuckled and said, well, when you get this kind of roll, it can go far.
Yeah. I know. It's like, you know, some of these people have contests hitting down, you know, at an airport down the runway and things. I mean, that's how hard it is. And there have been some wonderful shots on telly, even when you're out watching, you know, the ball coming down and then watching it roll, and you see it finding little, you know, sort of mounds and dips that you would never normally notice. You know, what looks like flat ground isn't quite flat at all. So these long putts they're holding are just phenomenal, you know, like the 150-footer that Poulter hold on, was it at the ninth on Thursday? An extraordinary putt, miles and miles of putt, and he'd aimed two cups right of the hole, which, you know, which is extraordinary. And he said that, you know, obviously there's luck involved. You know, my feeling is it's a lot of, you know, just sort of having played for years and years and years, you automatically know what you've got to do, rather like you know where, you know, if you've got a fork and you're eating something, you know where to, it's aiming at your mouth. I mean, you don't have to think about it.
That's very good. I love that. Yes, if we only could play that way without thinking so much, we'd be doing a good thing, right? Yeah. Now, Poulter, bringing up Ian Poulter, you know, of course, he's playing for LIV Golf. So, you know, I wasn't there. I didn't get to see him address the questions about his LIV situation.
Well, to to be honest, I thought he handled it pretty well because he had a sort of a twinkle in his eye, and he was, you know, they were saying, "Did you hear the seven people booing?" And rather like you're saying, Dustin didn't hear anything. Well, you know, we're all very good at not hearing what we don't want to hear, aren't we? And, you know, they're not... You know, Poulter said he never heard the people booing, but he did hear the people clapping so and cheering for him. So, you know, he didn't want to sort of drag himself down, I suppose, by talking about, oh, yes, they were booing me and I was upset about it because usually I'm very popular or anything. He didn't... You know, I thought he handled it quite well, to be honest. And he didn't, you know, he didn't sort of start arguing with them, you know. And he did say, you know, he talked about his friends. And he's saying, I'm still friends with all my old friends. It's just that we don't see eye to eye. And that's about right. I don't know what's going to happen with this Liv stuff, but it's... there's no point in them all falling out and the whole place becoming thoroughly unpleasant.
Exactly. That's very well put, but I love the fact that they had the number of people booing. Seven. How would you know that it's seven?
I and I can also tell you that the booing seven then went off to breakfast. So they weren't exactly... I don't think they were giving going the distance. I think that was probably they've been told to sort of do a bit of booing on the sea, and then they abandoned ship and found something else to do.
Yeah, my goodness. Incredibly emotional day for Tiger. You know, but... You couldn't help but feel the tears. It was wonderful.
Well, I'm afraid. I was practically in tears myself. I've always loved Tiger. I think he's an amazing chap. There's far more good in Tiger and always has been than bad. And... I just thought, you know, how wonderful he's been and how terrific that he won the Masters in 2018 and came back, and his kids are so proud of him today. You know, it's very sad that he's not sort of physically fit, but I think he realizes how darn lucky he is to be here. You know, he's been lucky to be here this week after that accident. And his smile, he's been smiling at people, and, mm-hmm. you know, the crowds really love him. There's no doubt about that. I mean, all the roars were for Tiger. He was the number one favorite, and I would say followed by Rory.
Yes, absolutely. And it's always great seeing those guys playing golf together, and JT, and the tip of the hat from JT, and the tip of the hat from Tiger. To Tiger from Rory McIlroy. It meant a lot to Tiger Woods. And I think he said something to the effect of, if only I hadn't had such a really bad start in the first round. And he had a big grin on his face when he was saying that. You know, it was just, yes, it was priceless. So none of what we talked about so far has anything to do with what Lewin Mayer is writing for Monday's edition of Global Golf Post. You'll just have to go online to Global Golf Post, get the free edition of the magazine. You'll like it a lot. And, you know, if you don't like the ads, you can subscribe. There's the adless version, so without ads, but you can get the free one, and then you can see what it was that really captured Lewin Mayer and what she wrote about. Thank you so much for helping us cover the UK and Scotland, and it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Danielle. It's been lovely. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, senior writer, and we're going to come back with Alex Myers, senior writer at Golf Digest magazine after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Waipahu and now Evile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Okay, we've got this really cool addition to the website. Really cool addition to the website. It is the Pro Shop, but you get to the Pro Shop by going through RadioGolfClub.com. RadioGolfClub.com. And then you'll see merchandise, merch. And then you'll see the Pro Shop. And you can shop for your favorite gear, whether it's accessories and gifts, or if you want brands like Eddie Bauer or the North Face, or there's hats and there's kids stuff and there's ladies stuff and there's men's stuff and there's lots of stuff that you can have for yourself. Or we have gift certificates available now, so you can give a gift certificate, and the person that you have no idea what they'd like to have, what color shirt would they like to wear, what kind of hat do they want to wear, what kind of logo would they like to see, you can give them a gift certificate. KORL Waianae, Honolulu.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii-savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest, writes one of my favorite golfdigest.com columns. It's called The Grind. It's all about the social, kind of off the wall, kind of week in the review, looking in the rear view, maybe even a little bit what might be coming up. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Hey, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you. Now, I've been reading some of your interesting commentary. I love Twitter. It's wonderful. Here's one. Hate to burst Bryson's bubble after a low score, but the old course is actually playing like a par 68 today.
I couldn't resist, Danielle. Of course, you know, that's a deep cut. If you're, you know, if you're a golf Twitter person, you know that one because of Bryson's comments about Augusta National a few years ago that it was a par 68 for him. But, man, it really is a par 68 today, right? These guys are going low, although the back nine's playing a lot tougher. But they're going out in 31, 32, and, you know, you got to make your birdies early, and then you got to hold on with the wind. And it's been a great tournament so far, huh? The leaderboard's fantastic, and hopefully we get another, you know, day and a half of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Has it been fantastic? How could it not be? You know, it's St. Andrews.
Yeah.
And the fans are so knowledgeable.
That's right. The fan. Oh, Danielle, I mean, don't get me started on the fans. They are so knowledgeable. Did you know that they're the only fans that if a guy makes a putt when he's on the cut line on Friday, that they cheer because they know he made the cut? You know, they're the only fans that know that, Danielle.
Yes, yes.
Apparently, that's what we've been told. And the only fans that compare, apparently, are the St. Louis Cardinals fans in baseball. That's what we've learned if you've watched the telecast this week. Now, again, I know they're great fans over there in Scotland, but geez, come on.
Like, yeah.
I mean, we know how to watch golf over here, too. I mean, I know we got the dopes that yell mashed potatoes and everything, and, you know, that's just a few bad apples. For the most part, we've got some knowledgeable fans, too, okay?
But didn't you love the comment from about your statement, anyone knows if the fan... Anyway,
yeah.
Red said,
oh, yeah.
What Red said was funny. I switched from the fans are knowledgeable drinking game to the need to use your imagination drinking game. It didn't help.
Yes, that was very good, because that's true as well. If it's little known fact, you need to use your imagination around a links golf course, Danielle, because you know, the other thing, you have plenty of options. That's the other word that we hear over and over and over again. And again, I mean, look, it's all true. We're not saying it's not true, but it's just one of those things that gets a little beaten to death, especially if you're watching, you know, if you're the big fans like us, although I don't know how you do it out in Hawaii, Dan. I mean, do you just stay up all night and watch? I mean, this is crazy, Lord, for you, because I'm getting up at 5 in the morning to watch, and I'm even missing a lot of the action. So it's a tough one to watch, but it's certainly a fun one to watch.
That's called DVR. And then you blow through what you don't want to watch, you know.
Right.
Yeah, or you watched in live, and then you get caught up on what you missed on, you know, live from, you know. You got to be imaginative.
Exactly.
I've got to use my imagination.
That's right. You got to use your imagination.
Yeah.
Right on.
Did you just love Max Honma on the nickname Tiger gave him?
I couldn't. That was such an amazing line that he had, and that was, he was on obviously with the no laying up guys, and you know, we all know that Tiger loves to give these little pet nicknames to people, and you know, he has these nicknames that you wonder if anyone else in the world calls these people that. So, you know, Max Homa was wondering if he would have one for him, and apparently he was worried he was going to call him Maxie, because Tiger likes to add an E to everybody, you know, like Sanzi, and, you know, he always adds an E to the end of it. But he didn't. He called him Homie, and Max liked that. He thought that was really cool. And, you know, of course, that does sound pretty cool. But then the next day, he called him Maxie. So Max was like, oh, man. So he was really bummed out about that.
No.
But true to form, Tiger did come up with a nickname for whoever he's playing with, even if it's not their real nickname.
that's wonderful. But you know that is a really good way to make a connection with people. You know,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You,
I come up with nicknames for people at work all the time. Again, I don't know if they like it or not, but it's too bad, because I like to do it. So yeah, it's definitely fun.
Yeah, and Hanma's response about missing the cut, that was wonderful. He wrote on Twitter, typically after a miscut, you hope to flush it from your memory, but not this one.
Right.
This was pretty unforgettable. Incredibly bummed to not be playing the weekend, but endlessly thankful for the 2 days with Tiger at St. Andrews. That walk up 18 was a movie. Yeah.
You can't say it any better than Max. Obviously, we know what a smart, thoughtful guy he is from all his interviews, from all his tweets. You know, not only is he hysterical, but he just puts things into such great context. And that was an amazing, amazing moment, obviously. And you know, he was fortunate enough to be part of that. Obviously, Matt Fitzpatrick had similar thoughts as well. They both were joking, you know, they knew to kind of hang back, let Tiger go first across the bridge, not kind of get in the way of that photographic moment there. Although Tiger was boogieing across the Swilkin Bridge, I must say. It was about the fastest he's walked all week. He definitely didn't pause at all for that, you know, final send-off photo. I think some people were thinking that might happen. But, yeah, what an amazing moment, an emotional moment for sure. You can count on one hand the amount of times the Tiger has, you know, been brought to tears on a golf course. And for him to do it while he's missing the cut is certainly a new one. So that was a special moment. Of course, we all wish he would have played a little better. Obviously, he wished he played better. He thought this was the tournament he'd been eyeing all year, and he prepared really hard for it. But just wasn't meant to be this week, and it was great to see him out there. And if that is the last time at the Old Course, at least he had a great send-off.
Yes, he certainly did, and he enjoyed himself immensely.
Right.
He said,
right,
and Tiger said, although I am disappointed to be heading home, I had an incredible week at St. Andrews, celebrating 150 years of history and the game we love. I want to thank this place for all the memories it's given me, and to the fans today for having the walk-up 18 be added to that list. That is far out. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah,
that's great. And you know, you don't usually hear him say things like that, right? I mean, especially when it's a week where he hasn't done well on the course. Obviously, he's the most competitive athlete maybe we've ever seen. But even he, you know, at this stage in his career, and obviously at this event, with it being the 150th, with it being at the home of golf, you know, he realized there was things that are more important, obviously, than what score he shot on the course. And so that was really nice to see him reflect on that moment as well after.
Yeah. And it was nice to see the grin on his face when he said, "I wish I'd played better."
Yeah, of course. Of course.
It was wonderful. I mean, you know, it was just wonderful. Now, let's switch. I'm just going to read this. Sergio Garcia. Yeah. I don't care what they say. I don't even read. I don't know how to read anymore. I don't know how to read anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
Sergio.
That was quite a quote. I it's funny because the LIV golf people, the first few weeks it was grow the game. They managed to work that grow the game line into every one of their answers, it seemed. And now, between Sergio, between DJ, I think there was someone else even, now the go-to seems to be, "I don't read." Now, Sergio took it a step further, saying, "I don't even know how to read." I don't really believe that. But I think these guys have gotten obviously tired of reading negative things to the point where, you know, they have probably tried to block it out. I don't think, you know, as DJ said, I don't think he ever read much of golf coverage or anything like that. But, yeah, it is interesting. I mean, they're kind of taking this us against the world mentality. And I have to say, it's not all negative things being written about them. But, of course, that's what they're going to focus on. And, it's an interesting time in golf, right, Danielle? I mean, you got, it was crazy to see Tiger get that send-off, and then about an hour later, Phil Mickelson plays 18, and there's nobody there, and nobody even seems to care. Yeah. And it's probably the last time Phil Mickelson plays there, too. And he's a former Open champ, obviously a six-time major, one of the greatest players ever, one of the greatest showmen ever in the game's history. And he looks miserable, and he's kind of become an afterthought, and it's really sad. And it's because of this decision that he's made to join this new league. I mean, that's why. I mean, he was, you know, other than Tiger, the most popular player in the sport for the last 3 decades.
Yep.
So it's kind of sad to see that happen. Obviously, you know, guys like Sergio have always been lightning rods, but Sergio was very popular as well at one point. Bryson DeChambeau, same thing. You know, it just doesn't seem like these guys are getting the buzz and the love anymore that they used to get. And, it's obvious because they've made this decision.
Let's go out on this Beatles song, "Money Can't Buy You Love."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Perfect.
Yes. Alex Myers, senior writer. Can't wait to read the grind. Okay. It's going to be good, I bet, this week. Thank you.
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot to write. Yeah, a lot to write about for sure. I appreciate all the kind words as always, Andy. It's been great talking to you, and hope you enjoy the end of the Open.
Oh, yes. And you won't get away. You know, you're going to be on the show much more often. You know, watch out.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Aloha, Alex.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you.
Bye. We're bringing in Bob Bupka. Yes, the voice of golf is in the UK. He's in Scotland, Danielle. That's not part of the UK. He's in Scotland at St. Andrews. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
So, how have your investments done lately?
Well, my house has certainly appreciated a lot in the last few years.
How do you invest in that?
I put a new Rainer garage door on last year, made it beautiful, and I know I'll get my money when I sell my home. According to all reports, garage doors rank as one of the best improvements for both selling your home faster and getting back your entire investment.
What about cost today?
Rainer doors have never been a better investment. My door is quieter, stronger, safer, and it transformed the look of my house. Better yet, I added value to my home at the same time, and with inflation the way it is, I know everything will be a lot more expensive next year. So now was the perfect time to buy a Rainer door.
Call Rainer now for your stunning new door. Visit HawaiiDoor.com or call 808-732-8860.
That's HawaiiDoor.com. 808-732-8860.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Bob Bubka, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, host in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. He's in the UK. He's at St. Andrews. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Let me fulfill one of the main items on my bucket list right here from St. Andrews, the home of golf, at the 150th celebration of the Open Championship. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Oh.
Happy birthday from St. Andrews.
Oh, my goodness.
Happy birthday to you.
You're so wonderful. My goodness. Oh, that's so wonderful. Gosh, I want to be there.
We want you here, Danielle.
It's,
you belong here.
My goodness. I love the Open because it's always on my birthday.
Well, we got to wait another 150 years to have one like this.
No. I know. It must be so wonderful. Gosh. I know, Bob, you know, me asking you questions is silly, but I'm going to start off by asking, what strikes you right now? I mean, what is the big takeaway for you being there?
So far, well, on Tuesday, the third American was awarded citizenship to the town of St. Andrews. The first was Ben Franklin, who went to St. Andrews University. The second was Bobby Jones. The third was none other than Jack Nicklaus. Barbara and Jack set aside tickets for Janice and I to be a witness to his ceremony in a magnificent facility called Younger Hall, the same place that Bobby Jones received the award. And if that wasn't enough, we were on the queue to do a one-on-one interview with Jack Nicklaus. But here's the kicker, Danielle. We're brought to this other hall where Jack is doing family photographs. He had every member of his family, 30 of them. And the person in charge says, Janice, Bob, would you guys mind waiting in this reception area here until Jack has finished the family photographs, and then he wants to do the interview with you? I said, sure, no problem. So they open this door. They escort us into this room. Oh, hi, Lee Trevino. How are you doing, Lee? Hey, Tom Watson. Good. I haven't seen you in a while. Bob Charles. Wow. How's things in New Zealand? Jose Marie Olazabal. Good to see you again, my friend. I said, Janice, pinch me because I think I'm asleep and I'm having the most wonderful dream that I've ever had in my life.
That's amazing.
Then it was time. They said, come on, Jack is waiting for you. And I said, first off, Jack, I want to thank you. I had a birthday last week, and I get a letter in the mail from Barbara and Jack Nicklaus wishing me a happy birthday. I said, Jack, you know, I've gotten a lot of great birthday presents in my life, but I don't know if there was ever one better than that.
Yes, I feel you. I feel you, man. Bob, that is incredible to see the room. I mean, I felt like I was at a Skins game when you were calling out all those names, right? I mean, remembering...
It was amazing. And Jack, when he got the award, gave his acceptance speech for 30 minutes. He lasted about 10 seconds before he broke down and started crying and cried for the next 30 minutes with most of us in the audience crying.
Yeah.
And it was just so special. You know, when you've worked hard in the world of golf, just like you have, Danielle, I've worked hard and I've worked long, and I was rewarded for everything that I've ever done by being in attendance here, but not just being in attendance, being guest of Barbara and Jack Nicklaus for this ceremony. It's a memory that I will cherish, obviously, forever. And I'm proud to be on with you, Danielle, and I'm proud to be on when it's your birthday. And anybody that wants to see some exciting golf, tomorrow we have all the ingredients. St. Andrews is going to be ready, the biggest names in the world. And to make matters even sweeter, prior to the start of my outlet over here, Talk Sport, I was hard-pressed. They put the gun in my head, and they said, you got to tell us who's going to win. And I went with Rory McIlroy. So I'm on pins and needles. I'm not going to sleep tonight, because if that comes true, that'll be the completion of a fantasy trip like you wouldn't believe. And as you know, Janice, is, as well as anybody, I wouldn't even been able to even make this trip without all of her assistance. It wasn't easy to get here from Houston, but it was worth every single bit of effort.
Absolutely. And now, let me ask, when can we hear or where can we tune in and hear the interview you did with Jack Nicklaus?
Well, that is a great question, but that falls into the technical aspect. So Janice Self will send you an email after we get off the air.
Okay.
And she'll provide that information.
Okay. Now, I've heard that the energy at St. Andrews on the old course is like the way Rory's playing and with Victor Hovland, and they're having so much fun. And I mean, last time I checked, they're 15 under, you know, on 13. And Cameron Young and Cameron Smith are 14 and 13 under on 12. So they have a little bit of an advantage because they've got a few more holes to play. But I hear the energy is like, if Rory McIlroy wins, not only will the whole, I mean, a fantasy trip has come true, because it pretty much has come true for you already with all the people that you were surrounded with and being with Jack and Barbara Nicklaus and all that. But I hear it would be like liftoff of the space shuttle, because everybody is just feeling Rory.
Yeah, let me tell you one thing. If the winning putt by Rory McIlroy goes in on Sunday, you know, there's 290,000 spectators here at St. Andrews, and every one of them is enjoying it. The minute that putt goes in, step outside there in Hawaii,
Yes. You'll
hear the roar. It will come over the ocean. It'll come to the moon. It'll be something that they'll talk about for years and years to come.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, you are so connected. Have you heard anything about Netflix? Are they there doing, you know, they're doing that, I don't know, videoing all these people. 20 have made a commitment, all the players. Vox Media Studios is doing this production of behind the scenes, featuring the top players inside and outside the ropes. Are they visible? Can you see that going on?
Come on, Danielle. you know, once you mention TV, they're about as far away from me as you're ever going to be. I've been hiding behind this voice for I don't know how long, so I'm not about to get exposed on TV.
Okay.
But yeah, I heard that they're here. I mean, you're going to see so much footage of Jack getting that award. I mean, it's an incredible award. Can you imagine Jack Nicklaus getting the same award that Ben Franklin got?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wrote a script like that and sent it to Hollywood, they would reject it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, too kitschy.
That's why I love you. That's why I love you.
I love you. And I want to thank you for being on the show and for taking us inside. And I couldn't imagine a better moment for this 150th open at St. Andrews. It's just, it's so wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show, Bob Bupka. And I'm so thankful to Jack and Barbara Nicklaus for getting you there, helping to get you there. Janice, thank you for everything you've done. I mean, it's wonderful. And I'm thrilled to have you on the show always. So,
well, thank you. Thank you, Danielle. You know, the beauty of it is Janice and I are just amongst 290,000 golf fans. I mean, they're from all over. But the enthusiasm, the love they have for this sport is simply incredible. And you hear great story after great story. We ran into a group from Canada, and one of the guys asked me if I would cheer up a member of their group because his younger brother had been projected to be part of this trip and had passed away and couldn't make it. The older brother didn't know what to do. And I said, you did the right thing. You brought your younger brother here in your heart.
Yes.
And that's what you run into. So, Danielle, happy birthday again. You do great stuff for golf. I'm proud. And I mean proud to be part of your show.
Oh, don't get me to tears. I have to thank the people who make this show possible. Bob Bupka, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, host in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, author of The Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you to our sponsors, Aloha Power Equipment's Mega Store. Aloha Power Equipment's new megastore next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile. You'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you need or want. Huge savings. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu is still open. And their megastore on Alakava next door to the Costco gas station, they are rocking. So get on down. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. And call Derek at Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. We make sure our home buyers are educated about what's going on when buying a home. And the person you deal with at the start is the person you're with all the way through till you get the keys to that home. Call Derek, 808-445-4038. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters. Need help? MD Restoration's on it. Any time of the day, right away. Any time of the night, right away. If disaster strikes your home, your office, call MD Restoration and their licensed contractors so they can put everything back together again after doing the mitigation. The number is 528-3434. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful look, maximum security, quiet, safe, adding value to your home. It's the perfect time to buy. Now, call 676-3667, 676-3667, or go to HawaiiDoor.com. And we are so honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is to learn from a PGA, a PGA of America member, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of love for this game to become a PGA. Because they love the game and teaching, You need to do it. Get in touch with your head professional at the golf course near you. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.